This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour news update recorded on Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. I'm Marc Boulanger. Conflicts in the world and disasters caused by factors such as climate change may dramatically increase the amount of child labour in the world. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
There are 230 million children worldwide living in conflict areas. 100 million children are affected by natural disasters every year. These crises can affect a family's ability to feed, educate, and protect their children, and so millions of children may be forced into work just to survive. How to address these issues is one of the goals of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. Jacqueline Damarinville, a program officer with the FAO, was recently interviewed by UN Radio and asked to describe child labor.
Child labor is work that harms a child's health, safety, or morals, or work that prevents a child from fully benefiting from education. It's also work undertaken by a child who is too young to be employed. So, for example, a child working on a fishing boat or an adolescent applying pesticides. It could also be a child who's been pulled out of school to work on the farm or herd livestock. Not all work undertaken by children is considered child labor. So work that's undertaken in safe conditions, that protects a child, that doesn't interfere with their education, that's age appropriate, that could all be acceptable forms of engagement of children in agriculture, and that can contribute to help build their skills for the future. Unfortunately, there are many cases in agriculture where children's work goes beyond these limits. Situations of crisis and conflict can be particularly devastating for children and can push new children into child labor, or can make child labor worse for children who are already engaged in work.
Ms. Damarinville was asked for examples of child labor in crisis zones.
Disasters and conflicts can destroy livelihoods and assets, such as livestock. Families might pull their children out of school to help supply the family with income or even food and water. Children who are separated from their families may need to work to survive. In some situations, families are forced to flee and might end up in refugee camps or settlement camps. And adults in those situations might not have access to the local labor market, and therefore children may be sent to work in agriculture instead.
The FAO has published a new guide on preventing child labor in the agricultural sector during times of disaster or conflict. It can be found on the organization's website at www.fao.org. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
The pace of change in the world of work is increasing, and labor unions will have to adapt their practices if they hope to continue to effectively represent their members. That is the message of a major campaign being conducted by the UN's International Labor Organization. The ILO is coordinating 110 national conferences about the future of work as it tries to develop strategies governments, employers, and labor unions can adopt. The Director General of the ILO, Guy Ryder, a trade unionist, told one of those conferences organized in Rome that a number of factors are increasing change in unprecedented ways.
I think the change we see today is quicker, deeper, and on a wider scale than we've seen before. It's truly a global change. And of course, when we think about this transformative change, we almost inevitably think about technology, the fourth industrial revolution, and everything that that implies. But I think it is wrong, and frankly it's too narrow, to believe that technology is the only driver of transformative change. Second is demography, or more accurately, differential demographies. A number of our countries are worried about getting older. But many countries, if you were to go to sub-Saharan Africa, if you go to South Asia, if you go to the Middle East, the problem is exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. And I think this has very profound implications for migration and human mobility, for social protection systems, and all of this has to be factored in to our conversation on the future of work.
Thank you for listening, and remember, it's all about global solidarity.